Okay, happy 4th of July. Boom, boom, boom.
Bang.
Yay.
Okay, yes. Got a woo-hoo out of Barb on that one.
There you go.
Boy, oh boy. Ah, Fish and Frank here in the chair, Robert in the chair across from me, and your 4th of July. Going to the fireworks with in your boat kind of report today. And that's kind of one of the things we're going to do, a special radio fishing, because there's all kinds of stuff. There's going to be hundreds of people taking their boat down there to the fireworks tonight. So, let's see, get right to it. Boy, if I get rid of that guy in the guitar.
I know, he's pushy.
He's pushy, annoying. Yeah, I went down to downtown Gators, or Gators Downtown last night.
Mm-hmm.
With Josh Olive, the publisher of The Waterline, and we took bass, and, you know, I took my bass, he took the drums, and we sat in with a couple of guys, very loud, you know, would have liked to have been playing much quieter. Other than that, it was pretty good. The guy singing was Travis. How do you say it? But he was the one that didn't make it past the judges on American Idol, but they did kind of a bio on him. His name is Travis. Nice guy. Yeah. Big fella.
I heard.
Big fella. And a heck of a nice guy. Likes to sing, enjoys playing his country music, and it was interesting. It was good. It was kind of interesting to stand in front of people and play again. I'm used to standing in my basement. I'm one of the few people in Florida with a basement. You know?
Right.
So, yeah, I have a basement band in Florida. But that was kind of interesting. I did enjoy it. It was fun. And, you know, Josh, he did the best he could, but we, you know, we have a little portable equipment we took with us, and he missing his drum set.
But he was out of his element.
You couldn't tell it from listening to it. I mean, he really made that little...
made the best he could with what he had, huh?
Yeah, Josh really did a pretty good job.
He does a good job with that stuff.
Yeah, you know, it's always fun to stand next to Josh while he's playing his drum set. So, yeah, the other guy was Zane. Zane was the other guitar player. So, yeah. He was a real nice fellow, nice guy. Works for Kicks Country, I think the producer of the Waterline Radio Magazine show, whatever it is.
Yeah.
But the other broadcast that everybody thinks that I'm doing, and I don't have anything to do with it. But that's cool. It's
all good.
Yeah, it was all
good. Promotes the store. I'm glad I don't get up early for nothing.
Yes. So... Anyway, let's see. Red, white, blue, America, America. All right, 4th of July, fireworks. What fish? Now, I'm going to, I know there's a bunch of tarpon down there, and what's neat is about the time the fireworks start. I'm not sure the fireworks are going to spook the tarpon or not.
I think it might give them a little bit of lockjaw. I mean, they don't like thunder. They don't like lightning and thunder as it is, so I'm going to assume that this might, and just might, I don't know, it might make them a little spooky.
That was kind of going through my head, because I know there's so many tarpon down there, and I'm thinking, all right, you know, before the fireworks go, that, they're, you know, if you're down there early, you've got a, you know, pretty fair chance at hooking up on a tarpon, possible cobia, not a lot of them around, but there's always a few oddballs, as you would say, your oddball fish. Silver trout down there, snook, a lot of snook around the bridges.
A lot of snook, yeah.
And I'm just wondering what effect that concussions would have, because I live in the Heights, and you can, I mean, it's fairly loud, you know, and I'm 4 miles away. Wondering what effect that big kapow, pow ones they have would have on those fish.
It usually affects a lot of fish, but the weird part is... I don't know if it's because it's so high in the air that maybe they attribute it to thunder and that percussion, and it doesn't seem to bother them as bad as if it were under the water.
Well, you know, of course, under the water it would be amplified 500 times.
Right. You know, so I'm torn on it, to be honest with you.
All right.
Because enough people over the years, you know, being in here for so many years and listening to people talk that go down there and fish while they're waiting for
the
fireworks.
What is it, 18 or 19 years now?
18 years.
Okay, so you've been here 18 years.
May.
and that was back when everybody thought you were my son.
Yeah.
Yes. So I still get that every once in a while. So,
yeah, I still do too.
Yeah. So it's all right. I'm old. I mean, look at all this tape and stuff I've got on me. Everybody goes, "Oh, that looks painful." The only problem is my daughter, physical therapist, she was fixing me, and I guess I thought I was feeling pretty good. She says, "How are you walking? You know, how can you stand up?" And I don't know. So, you know, I guess it's the difference between us old guys and some of the new generation coming up. You know, we just go to work.
You have to.
You know, you just get up, you do what you got to do. Okay, it hurts. All right, so what? You know, you're alive, you're going to have pain. You know, things are going to be good, things are going to be bad. But the only thing is, she did this athletic, it's supposed to do retune your muscles to do something different, put blood flow here and not there. Well, playing bass last night, I'm playing along, and all of a sudden I couldn't hardly use the pick. I switched over, I was using my fingers and, you know, playing the bass with my fingers, but the sound that
it's a different sound.
It's a different sound, you know, a different tone, and with the equipment that I brought, my little amp, because I was told we were playing acoustics. I didn't know we were playing amplified acoustics, so I brought a little amp to play along with acoustic stuff. Well, you can't really hear it with the pick. It's a sharper sound, so you can hear it better, but all of a sudden, and then my elbow swelled up. I mean, I looked like I had about 8 or 10 marshmallows stuck underneath my elbow.
Wow. It's
still a little swollen. And so I called my daughter and I said, "Would the tape have anything about swelling my arm way up?" And she goes, "Oh, yeah, I didn't know you were going to play." I said, "Well, I didn't either. It was a spur of the moment thing."
Yeah.
So, yeah, my arm looked like it had half a pack of marshmallows stuck in my elbow because it wants
to. That's uncomfortable.
Well, yeah, it's just that the tape puts the blood flow where it wants to go. It's supposed to be rejuvenating some muscles and contracting other ones, and, you know, she's amazing with it. But it was also weird to get done, and my elbow's, you know, three times the size it's supposed to be. But anyway, so back into the fishing part of it. We were talking about fireworks and their possible thing on it. Now, I don't think it'll bother the silver trout much. I think they're just kind of dense.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, yeah. I don't know. You know, to me, I just don't have the greatest respect for the intelligence of a silver trout.
Yeah.
And it seems like the smaller fish aren't bothered as much by the thunder and lightning. The larger fish, you know, I've been struck actually a couple of times by lightning. So, you know, I'm a little more wary than, but I'm bigger, I'm older, and maybe just the silver trout are younger and dumber, you know.
I think what helps with that is, like, some of those species are very much more a bottom dweller. I mean, silver trout really aren't associated as a bottom feeder, but they tend, everyone I've ever personally caught have always been very low in the water column. You know, I've never caught them under a popping cork ever, personally.
Yeah, that's kind of true. I never thought about it, because usually if I catch them, I go up by I-75, and on the north side of the I-75 bridge, there's a long, straight area, and I just kind of drift through there with a hook and a split shot, and that's how I usually catch silver trout right over there. I'm not usually, when I'm fishing, popping corks and stuff. Never thought about it. Yeah, but they could be hanging out a little deeper, so they might not be as affected by it as much. I'm going to call number one thing, if I'm going to take a boat down to the fireworks display, I'm going to say sharks. Black tips, bull sharks. I don't think there's a lot of bonnets up here, but I know there's a lot of bull sharks, some black tips or sharp nose, you know, one of those black tip type species. But a lot of small bull sharks, because there are a ton of them up by I-75, and there's been quite a few down by the bridge. So
right.
I'm going to call shark fishing as probably the number one thing I would do.
Absolutely. I agree with that. You know, they don't ever seem to be as bothered as bad for some reason up there. I mean, over the years, again, we hear about them more consistently over any other species caught on the 4th of July.
Yeah. So, while thinking about sharks is number one, the one thing you're not going to be able to do, there's so many boats idling around and trying to find position and stuff. I'm going to call no bobber night. Just okay, let's forget the bobbers for the night, because somebody's going to run over your line. You're going to be mad at them. They're going to be taking all your line, ruining the rig, and they're going to end up with the line in their prop, and everything's going to go south, and everybody's going to be arguing and yelling. Let's, for tonight, figure out ways of not causing problems for yourself or other people.
Right.
You know, hence making a more pleasurable night. I'm going to say, I'm going to get out there, I'm going to find a place where I can see the fireworks, I'm gonna drop my anchor, let the boat get settled in, and I'm going to put a chum bag over the back. Now, when I hang a chum bag, I don't like it floating on the water, because one thing you're going to have is a little bit of wave activity, boats idling, a little bit of wind, this, that, next thing, if we're lucky, a little bit of wind. You know, yeah, otherwise,
just a little bit,
a little tiny bit.
Don't want
of wind.
That thunderstorm that rolled through your place last night.
No,
that looked wicked. How was that out there, by the way?
I wasn't there. I was playing guitar.
Oh,
I was over at Gators in Punta Gorda, and nice place, by the way. The food, the wings were pretty good. Now, one thing I thought was funny: their signature wing sauce. Sweet and sour sauce. Get our Gator's secret signature wing. It was sweet and sour sauce. Josh and I ordered it because we didn't know what it was. We said, ah, heck, we'll just eat it. It was tasty. It was very tasty. But I looked at it and I said, so their secret wing stuff is sweet and sour. I went, this is not bad. I mean, you know, I ate my half of the wing order. And
General Chow's chicken without rice.
Yeah, so it was actually pretty good. No, cool. I prefer the one up at Luigi's. Dave's got that mix, and he does the, some kind of sweet stuff with hot sauce mixed with it. Then they call it the Cap'n Kale sauce, and that's, I think it's more what I was ready for. I was thinking something about that rather than the sweet and sour. But anyway, getting back to the fishing, you know, I'm sorry, guys. I'm a mess today. You know, just a mess. All right. But we come back to the fishing, and We're gonna call no bobbers, no free lining.
Right.
We're gonna put the chum bag right out the back of the boat. Now I like to hang it really tight so that it's vertical hanging off the back of the boat. I don't want it laying flat on the water, because then I gotta go back and physically grab it and shake it to get the chum out. When it's hanging up and down like about halfway into the water, every time you walk back and forth in a boat, it dips the chum bag. You get hit by a little bit of a wave or something, the boat rocks back and forth, and the rocking of the boat automatically dips that chum bag. Always send a lazy man to do the job, because I don't want to have to do it myself, so I figured out a way of letting everybody else do the chum bag for me, and it gives a more continual flow. Now, what I'm going to say is probably two rods out. Most boats have two rod holders in the back somewhere. I'm going to say half a thread fin, two finger to three finger chunk of mullet or ladyfish, some type of fish. Just buy a bag of, you know, frozen finger mullet and use half at a time. But I would say little white bait or thread fins, cut those in half, put them on the hook. I'm going to call 1 ounce sinker, at least a half an ounce to an ounce sinker. You know, it's only 6-8 feet deep there.
Right.
Maybe 10 in a couple of spots. You don't need much, and there's not going to be real strong current. I didn't check the river flow, but I don't
think it'll be much. I mean, it's just enough to keep the baits kind of separated and anchored in a spot.
Right. So it should be good. But with two lines out, and I would only throw 20-30 feet behind the boat. And yeah, with the sinker on, that should keep other boats, would probably be that far away from you trying to idle around, you know. And one thing I'm definitely going to call for is bring a flashlight. And that way, if a boat's coming up, give it about 1 second burst to the boat itself, you know, kind of down by the waterline of the boat, and then just shine your lines, you know, so right, that they can see them, and they have a chance to avoiding it. Getting mad at somebody because they cannot see a fishing line out behind the boat in the dark is not really acceptable.
I mean, we don't have glow-in-the-dark line for people?
We could. That would be actually a pretty cool line.
That'd actually be pretty impressive.
Yeah, that was actually really good. I know you were being facetious, but I've just got to think about saying, you know, glow-in-the-dark line. That wouldn't be bad.
Uh-uh.
You know, especially, you know how the Berkeley has that dark green, light green, the tracer line?
Yeah.
If every, you know, 30 inches was a glow-in-the-dark bit.
Right.
You know, green and then glow in the dark green, glow in the dark every 30 inches. Wow, that would be cool.
It'd be pretty interesting.
That would be amazing line. I would sell a heck out of that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That would be cool. There's potential there.
There's potential there. So anyway, getting back into it, with the sinkers, it's going to keep your lines down, keep them out of, theoretically, out of the other propellers, away from other boats. Freelining would be a problem because it's going to drift one way or the other with the current. It could
the
be
boat
very
traffic, the
close
wakes
to
are
the
going
top,
to push it around.
And again, it's going to cause problems. Right. And the whole idea behind having the 4th of July, taking the boat down there, is to have a really good, happy time and be joyful and cheerful and happy, happy, joy, joy, happy, happy, joy. Not, okay, well, this will be running over my lies, cuss, cuss, you know, argue, yeah. argue. So let's make it good for everybody. Live shrimp are not going to work down there anyway.
Too much fresh water.
Yeah, the too much fresh water coming down the river, there's, you know, a bag of frozen shrimp is going to catch more fish right now down between 75 to 41 than the live shrimp will, because they're already dead, they've already started the decaying process, more smell, more scent in the water, more likely for a fish to pick them up. But just keep in mind, if you're going to use the frozen shrimp, once they're dead, they do not stay on the hook well, so you have to thread them on. Now, the Peace River's down to about 5.5 feet, so
it's pretty good that it's staying there.
Right. So that's going to help. That's going to keep. That's just enough to bring extra food, but not enough to cause a lot of freshwater problems. And tonight, oh, it's 7 o'clock. It's going to be a dumping outgoing tide, almost like a hill tide would be.
Really?
We're going from a 2.3, 2.4 down to, oh my God, a minus 3 or something like that.
We're on a new moon?
Yeah, must be, because it's a really dumping outgoing tide. It's going to be the...
That's awesome.
It's awesome. You're going to have some great water flow. It's going to keep all the boats in one direction. But I'm going to say 1 ounce sinkers.
Yeah.
Because that's going to be a lot of current. I'm going to say ounce to ounce and a half, maybe even 2 ounces to keep these lines in place. But an ounce should do it fine. 3/4 of an ounce, ounce, ounce and a half. That's where I'm going to be with the sinker thing. When I just looked at the tide chart and went, oh, holy cow, fishandfranks.com, the weather button, it looks like a storm. And then you just click the tide charts for Punta Gorda. And let's see, once 15... 12 and 3, and then it's going to 11 o'clock at night. So it's that's going to hit. You're going to be right in the middle of a major outgoing tide. So
that'll be pretty cool.
That ought to do pretty good on the fishing.
Wonder how the phosphorus in the water will be tonight.
I don't know. I haven't been out. You know, I haven't been able to go on the boat because of this Meniere's disease. God, I'm an old person. All I talk about is my disease and my ripped up muscles and my broken
thing,
body.
Talking about your 27 different pills you have to take.
Yeah, I'm not doing that. I don't even take the ones I'm supposed to take. That's going to be an amazing tide.
Yeah, that's really cool.
So I'm really looking forward to it. The nice thing about it, it's going to keep all the boats in the same direction.
Yeah.
And that should be a really... That's going to be a really cool addition.
From visual and safety purpose, it's going to be cool because everyone's lines will be tight on their anchor lines. There will not be any second guessing. Pretty much have a good idea on our direction. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, I'm going to zip over here to the Weather Channel, see if I can find the hour-by-hour report tonight, see what they're saying. Okay.
I think the other thing that we're forgetting, too, is the bycatch of catfish. You know.
Ooh, forgot about that.
Being dark out there, hassling with a strong tide, boat wakes, and something that can skewer you and cause a lot of problems. I think we definitely need to be overly safe. You know, make sure you have a pair of needle-nose pliers, the flashlight, for sure, just to see what's going on to keep your hands and feet clear of any dangerous things.
Feature this. We got a 30% chance of rain at 6 o'clock. But by 9 o'clock, when the fireworks are going to start, zero chance of rain, they're calling for. 25% chance at 8 o'clock and none by 9 o'clock.
Wow.
So...
That's pretty impressive.
Take a couple raincoats with you if you're going to leave a little early. An umbrella is always a nice thing. People forget how cool an umbrella is on a boat.
Because, literally.
Yeah, I mean, A, it works great against the sun. It also works great against the... Because when you anchor up, having a bit of shade is really awesome. And just having an umbrella. And then if it rains, you got the umbrella. If the sun's beating down, you got the umbrella. I think it's going to be a little cloudy, very comfortable tonight.
Yeah.
So I don't think the sun part of it's going to be... But if you're going to go out extra early, let's say around, 7, 8 o'clock to get out there and get your spot together, I would do that. Take an umbrella with you, both for the sun and for the
potential rain.
And it's a lot more comfortable because when I'm sitting in a boat and I've got a big plastic rain jacket on, I'm dying. That's hot.
It's a sweatsuit.
Oh, yeah, that's a sweatsuit. I mean, if you want to lose 5 pounds real quick, go out there and hang out in a raincoat, at 80-degree humidity and 90-degree weather.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a really... So grab a couple umbrellas to take with you. Let me get rid of this. All right. Now, catfish. You're going to hook catfish up while you're shark fishing.
Yeah.
Couple of things you can do. Fish flippers work great, where it's got a hook at the end, you take it down, you just kind of flop the fish back in the water. But you want to have a good pair of pliers. A fish gripper is probably the best way to go. They make the grippers that actually grab the catfish so you don't get stung.
Best invention ever made.
So I'm going to call that first choice is, the fish gripper. But second choice, bring a glove with you for your left hand. You're going to be Michael Jackson for the night, just one in your left hand, but if you got one of those old rubberized gloves, those are always nice because they stay dry inside.
Won't stop them from skewering you, but it will give you a better chance of holding them more comfortably.
Right. What I do is I grab the line and leader right above there and pick them up and let them flop, and I just kind of let them hang against the side of the boat and flop, 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 spin, spin, flop, spin, spin, flop.
Pretty darn good imitation. I've done this once before.
I've heard a lot of catfish. I can't tell you how many have sat on the side of the boat cussing me. They're which is catfish for screw you, Frank. Nah, I don't want this, But they do talk to you, boys and girls. If you haven't caught saltwater catfish, they do make that noise.
They do.
They grunt, grunt, grunt at you all the time. Then the other thing that's going to go on is once they calm down, I pick them up and wait till their belly is turned to you. Not their back, their belly. And just grab them, by the belly, and you won't get hurt. But sure, steady, slow movements are the way to go. If you just reach in quick to grab them, you're just likely to get a pec barb or the dorsal fin barb and get it in your hand, and that's going to ruin your night at the fireworks. You're not in a hurry to take the catfish off. If you take an extra 2 minutes to let him just hang there and bang, bang, bang against the side of the boat and cuss you out for a while, and then you just grab him, take your needle-nose pliers, pop the hook out, toss him back in the water, all good. Catfish tails make great bait for shark.
Absolutely.
Now, I keep a 5-gallon bucket there if I'm going to use catfish for bait. Take them off the hook, throw them in the bucket, and it takes, 2 to 5 minutes, and all of a sudden, he's expired. I won't say he's mortally wounded. He's expired.
Expired.
So he's expired. And I go behind the ribs, cut. Then I take about a 2-3 finger thing. And when we talk about 2 or 3 fingers, that's just laying your fingers when you make your first cut. Lay your fingers on there and then put your knife where 2 or 3 fingers would be the width of the chunk of bait you're cutting.
Right.
And if it's too big, they're not going to get in. You're going to get a lot of runs and no fish. So it's got to be the right size. It has to fit into the shark's mouth. So chop your chunk of bait off, stick that piece on there, throw the head and everything back in the water, whatever tail pieces you're not using, and it'll just, it's good
add
part of the chum.
Yeah.
So all works good. But you're going to catch a few catfish, then you're going to catch the sharks, and you should have a good time down there tonight.
Yeah, absolutely.
And the fireworks. Now, I always want to bring an extra flashlight with me.
In case one dies?
No, I want a flashlight so I can light up the fish when I'm catching them.
Right.
And I want to be able to shine it around my boat if I see somebody coming at me, or if I hear a boat running and I can't see it, I take the flashlight, kind of do a sweep around the boat with it, like a 360, to, just to make sure that people know I'm there, and then I shine the inside of the boat a little bit with it, just to kind of light me up, because people always make the mistake. They're anchored, and they can see because they don't have light shining in their eyes, but the guy running the boat may not see them. And you always assume the other person in the boat is a complete moron, is not paying attention, he's texting on his cell phone, he's, you know, they're doing everything but watching where they're going.
Yeah, and everything wrong.
Everything wrong. If you assume everybody's doing everything wrong, you're going to be much safer. So when I hear a boat and I can't see it, I take the flashlight and I just slowly do a 360 with it around so that they can, I make sure they saw that. And then I just shine the inside of the boat. I point it on the center console, at the motor, up by the bow, making sure that my boat is visible. Right. We've had people get seriously injured and or killed because they assumed the boat that was running could see them.
Right.
And it's not their fault. The boat should see them. The boat should know where it's going. It should be going only fast enough to be safe. You should not be running on a GPS. But there's 1,000 things that somebody else could do wrong. So always assume they don't see you. And you don't want to shine a light directly in somebody's eyes. But if I see a boat coming at me and I don't know if they see me, I kind of shine it a couple times at the waterline of the boat. Just a couple quick flashes at the boat to make sure they know I'm here.
Right.
So they don't want to run into me. They don't want to ruin their boat. But if they don't see you, boom, bad things happen.
Very.
And it can happen quickly.
Very quickly.
When I'm at anchor, I leave my bow lights on and I leave my anchor light on. Two more, you know, red and green light. You know, it's two more lights they can possibly see. And just because your anchor light is on, if somebody's coming at you and there's 30 other boats behind you and all their lights are on, they may not notice your light. It might blend with the background lights.
Yeah, your depth perception at night is horrible for anybody when you got other lights of the same colors around.
And what if they're my age and they go out there and they're on the boat and they can't see anyway? They're too old to figure it out, you know. That would be, yeah. So, but I always err to the side of caution with that whole, and having the flashlight is nice. It gives you an idea of what's up. Q-beams are better, you know, for running at night. But one thing, it's nice to have a GPS to guide you, but turn the brightness way, way down. You just want to be able to barely see it and to get an idea where you're going. But just because you're following a GPS track does not mean that's safe passage. I was going along one time. I'm doing about 30 miles an hour, and all of a sudden a piling floated up in front of the boat. Nowhere for me to go. Just trashed the motor. I mean, literally broke the oil pump off the bottom of the motor. And that was back that first one Yamaha had, but the whole boat went up in the air until the motor caught, hit the piling, and then the whole thing nosedived into the water.
Jesus.
Didn't get hurt, everything was fine.
Right.
But, you know, I saw it at the last instant, hit the trim button, slammed the throttle as hard as I could to try and raise the bow up, so hoping I could jump over it.
Little Dukes of Hazzard move.
And sometimes the correct thing is to add speed and throttle, sometimes the correct thing is to back off. It was too close. There was no way I was going to stop, and I thought, well, maybe I'll just skid right over it. And I was doing a great job. The whole boat heading right up in the air. There was absolutely no damage to the hull. I was able to get the nose up in just that couple of seconds by hitting the throttle and that. Picked the nose up a little bit so I didn't broadside it. The piling slid under the boat right up to the point it caught the lower unit. And then it went, boom! That was a heck of a noise.
Wow.
But anyway, if you're going slow, you can avoid this stuff. And if you just saw the fireworks, you got plenty to talk about and laugh about, and go your way safely back home. And in no circumstances should you be, you know, running, especially there's anywhere from 100 to 200 other boats out there. And what if the idiot in the other boat doesn't have his lights on?
Right.
And unless it's a bright moon,
and you're not having that tonight.
So figure how long it's going to take you to idle home and be safe.
And keep in mind, 90% of those boats out there are going to have children on the boats, too. So it's not just adults, you know, you got to be careful of every age group out there.
Yeah, it's okay to kill old people. We just don't want to kill kids, right?
No.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll just double check in here.
But if you're it's not even the fact of hitting a boat, the potential of waking somebody wrong or anything like that. Just
there's
drive
just a lot
like
of
a moron.
I'm just messing with you, Robert. It was, I know. You know, it's
quit being so serious, Frank.
Yeah. I know. So anyway, the whole thing about it is you go out and have a good time.
Absolutely.
And that's basically what it's all about. But having a good time means going home slow and safely.
Absolutely.
And that's a big part of anything. Extra flashlight, a fish gripper, if not, a glove for your hand. Lots of sharks, lots of catfish. We think they should be biting. That's historically what is the most often caught fish during the fireworks display. Lots of tarpon down there and snook. But the snook has that big lateral line. And yeah. I got to think that booming.
And you know what? You got a point there that just clicked. You know, look at like silver trout. Very tiny lateral line. You know, why they might chew more often, because maybe they're not as sensitive to that versus the lateral line on a snook.
They seem quite sensitive to me. Every time I've ever caught one, they've always looked at me with kindness and respect.
Little doe eyes.
They seem very sensitive fish. I don't know what you're talking about. I think they're quite sensitive. I think that's rude.
Nice.
Okay.
But might be another thought because of that big lateral line.
No, I with that snook, I mean, the entire... Every scale on the black line of that snook has an oil sac under it, and which basically makes it an eardrum.
Right.
And to have that many eardrums and that big concussive blast, I think that's going to move those snook or at least make them not want to eat. I, you know.
Right.
I'm not sure. I don't know. I don't know if it bothers me or not. It might this year with that stuff. But
guess you'll find out.
I guess I'll find out. I'm thinking about going down to the fireworks.
Are you?
Mm-hmm.
There you go.
I'm not sure, but I got to find out if I got a boat that actually has lights at work.
Good point.
Yeah, I forgot to go down and buy an accessory bit of lights. I know I don't have any left here. We got bought out this weekend. People getting ready for the fireworks.
Right.
So, other than that, anything you think we should talk about for as far as the fireworks?
I think another thing that might be, you know, if you're not in a hurry... Everyone's going to be leaving pretty much almost as soon as it's over. Give yourself an hour window or whatever and stick around and try fishing, you know, for those tarpon and snook, because they might turn on pretty good without really strong tide. And after it calms down a little bit with the boat traffic, you might see things get pretty exciting around the bridges.
Yeah, once the vast majority of the boats go, there's the tarpon fishing at night there has been really good. Anywhere from what I would say 10 to 6 in the morning, 10 to 7 in the morning.
Yeah.
You know.
And with such a strong tide, it wouldn't surprise me if they go into a major feed at some point there between that. Because you said it's going to be low at 11 or something like that.
Right.
So, you know, the fireworks will be over by 9:30. Something like that, usually about that time. And you might see some snook and some tarpon activity really get exciting for a good hour window there.
Yeah.
Everyone's going to be up past their bedtime anyway. You know, what's an extra hour at that point?
Yeah. My only problem is what I found happens to me is I get real tired around, you know, early in the evening, and then I take a nap, and I wake up in 10 minutes or an hour, and then it's
done.
2 o'clock in the morning until I get to sleep again.
Yeah. I know that feeling.
Yeah. It's just, you know, okay, I slept.
Yeah.
You know?
Especially it's like those 10-minute ones. Those hour ones don't seem to wreck me as bad. I'm still awake. But it's like those 10-minute ones. Yeah, it's 2 o'clock in the morning before I'm falling back asleep.
I wonder what it is. I guess maybe just a deep...
It's like a deep power nap. You're done for that 10 minutes and whoo! That sucks.
Goodness, I don't know what the heck to do. Anyway, boys and girls, so down tonight, down by the bridges, you're not really going to be able to launch at Lashley Park. Nearby ramps to launch at is Port Charlotte Beach. Darst, if you have a small boat, Darst, you know, a flats boat, you can do okay coming out of Darst and getting back up there. Harbor Heights is probably the best ramp to launch from, and it's a nice easy run down the river and back up to there. Follow the manatee signs, it's real simple. I would say Harbor Heights number one launch ramp, and then Port Charlotte Beach would be number two. Ponce de Leon usually closes at dusk. I don't know if they're going to leave it open tonight.
I don't know if they are either. It wouldn't surprise me if they did leave it open for at least an extra couple hours.
But you're not going to be able to launch it, Lashley. They've got that. You might be able to, but there's going to be so many hundreds or thousands of people walking around trying to get the boat and trailer and back down to the ramp and get out.
Yeah, unless you get there several hours early.
It would be more aggravation than it's worth.
Yeah, I agree with that.
I think they got a whole big all-day thing going on there, though.
Do they?
Yeah. I know they got a big fireworks thing, and I think they got extra food and other stuff. I know it's supposed to be a pretty big event.
Okay.
You know. Let's see. But I can't really think of anything else. Okay, just as a kind of a wrap-up, tarpon, some cobia, a lot of snook underneath the bridges, some silver trout, sharks and catfish, probably number one thing, definitely catfish. So you should have a good night out there. The fireworks are supposed to be really good if you believe the advertising.
Unless there's a misfire.
As long as they don't drop the flare and set it all off in 5 minutes the way they did a couple years ago. Gosh, that has to be embarrassing. Yes. Waiting all year.
And they're never
going to
live that down either.
And you go down there and you watch the fireworks, and it's like a grand finale. Everything's just boom, 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 boom. And it was every firework went off at the same time.
Yeah.
And I think the whole thing took less than 5 minutes.
Yeah.
But what should have been a half an hour show. So.
I told the wife, I'm like, how's the grand finale going off already? She's like, no, that can't be. I'm like, something either happened or they're doing the grand finale now. It was a very quick firework. From then the next day, it's like, oh.
Somebody told me they were actually using flares to light fuses. They weren't using electronic switches.
Really?
They were actually using, you know, like road flares and lighting fuses as they went around to set off the fireworks. And somebody tripped and dropped the flare. The flare hit the fuses, and it happened to hit the one in the grand finale, which that one set off so many sparks, it just set off the other fuses, and they all went.
Oh, geez. That's terrifying.
Yeah, you know, I thought they did all that by electric.
Yeah, I thought they had like a circuit board kind of thing and just lit them off.
No, they were pretty old school. They were actually holding flares, I guess, and lighting, you know, fuses with fire.
Jeez.
So, I guess, you know, I remember lighting fuses on the fireworks with punks. They used to, you know, have the slow burning thing, and you just touch the fuses with all that and lighting the fireworks off. Punks. I wonder how that got its name. That's weird. All right. Anyway, so enough of those punks and back. I guess you've had enough of these punks. And this is Fish and Frank here in the chair in a confused radio fishing. And let's go back to Happy 4th of July. Boom, boom. Let's see. I bet you I have something for that. Maybe not. I don't know.
Maybe. Yeah. Well, happy 4th of July, and thanks to all the military out there for helping make this memorable.
Nice touch, remembering the military.
That's what this day's about, isn't it?
Unless
you're Josh and it's about musket balls and cannonballs flying in people's faces. That was what he was going to say the other day and didn't. Remember, that's what this day's based on. Musket balls and cannonballs flying at each other. Like, really?
What it was Francis Scott Key went out and to negotiate a prisoner exchange with the British. And the British did agree to the prisoner exchange. They had all these U.S. prisoners on their boats, and the U.S. had all these British prisoners, and they were going to do one-for-one prisoner exchange, taking the British prisoners and giving back each other's prisoners. And then the British decided that, well, we're going to do it because it doesn't matter anyway, because we're going to just destroy this fort. They had hundreds of boats all line up and point all their cannons at the boat, and they said, we will stop shelling if you lower the flag. And they had told the people in the fort that if they drop the flag, if that flag comes down, they will stop shelling. They will not attack. But as long as that flag is flying, they will keep attacking that. and all night they bombarded it, dozens of ships firing cannons at it, and all through to the next morning. And the next morning the flag was standing there, and what it was the guys in the fort, knowing the British were literally targeting that flag with their cannons, going up, grabbing the flag, holding it up until they were killed. Somebody else would come over, grab the flag, hold it up until they were killed, and they just kept doing that. And it was literally the bodies of those soldiers holding the flag up in the morning.
No kidding.
And that's why by the dawn's early light they could still see the flag. And that's why the song was written, and that's what it was written about, the courage of those people not to surrender.
That's pretty cool.
They said Americans would rather die standing up than live on their knees. And that's where the national anthem came from.
That's
so
cool.
One little somber moment on history. And
you are the history buff.
Love history. Can't know where you're going unless you know where you've been. Anyway, Fish and Frank here in the chair, Robin in the chair across from me. We wish you guys all a great 4th of July. And, you know, you and your families, be safe. Have a great time. Enjoy some good food. And we will catch you on the next Radio Fishing. Thank you.